Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, good morning, and again, welcome to Life Change. I'm excited to be back. Had a week off for some vacation in Florida and then came back to some snow. So thank you, Ohio. Gotta love that. But again, there is a lot going on, so we're going into a fun season at Life Change, which is the Easter season. But with that said, there's a ton going on. So I want to remind you to check out that Church Center app. Also, in the seat back in front of you, you will find that we have announcements. If you are like, I can't figure this app out, I don't want to figure this app out, we still go old school for you as well. And so you can pull that out. And I don't know who would that be. I mean, maybe in that note. But I wanted to let you know there's still some information there, and there is a bunch going on. So next week, we do have our Discover. And so if you've never been to Discover, what it is just an informational class about life change that happens during this service out in the garage on the side by the air conditioner. And so it gives a little bit of the backstory of Life Change, gives some of the beliefs of Life Change as well. If you've never been to that, I would challenge you to come to that. I will say this too, next week we have baptisms, and so we've got two set up already, but we are open to more. So if you've never been baptized and you're thinking like, I should do that, now's the time. See, when we get ready for it, we'll have the water warm for you. So, no, it's usually always warm, but we'll have the baptism ready for next week. So if you want to get baptized, the easiest way to figure that out is at the end of the service today. On the connection card, just put your name, and then on the box that says, I want to get baptized, check mark that box, and then we will make that happen. And again, we can do that as soon as next week. And then a couple other things is really coming up to Easter. We do have our Easter egg hunt. And so this year, we are taking the Easter egg hunt on the road, and we're going to Vibrant Life Church, which is Daryl Beckett, Pastor Daryl Beckett. He was here. It's our first church plant. They're getting things ready. They're going to probably launch at the end of summer-ish, but they're going to start off by getting in the community right away, and we want to help them. And so that's going to be on March 24th, and that's 858 Garfield Avenue. We're going to have some information as far as how you can sign up for that to be a part. Again, we are going to do what we do here, just over there. And so we're going to do 10,000 Easter eggs. And so you might be thinking like, what can I do now? Well, this week, you can go buy out every single store's fun size candy and then bring it in next week, because we are going to pack 10,000 Easter eggs. And so you can start bringing in candy as soon as next week. And then next week, we'll have some more information on how to sign up, how to serve, and what capacity you want to serve. And I will say this, everybody who will serve will get the very first Vibrant Life t-shirt there ever has been, right? So you are going to have a one-of-a-kind if you jump in and you help with us on that Easter egg hunt. And again, this is all leading up to our Easter services. And so for Easter services, I want to remind you now, we're going to have four services: 7 a.m., 8:30, 9:45, and 11. And so what that means is you guys are like, I'm not coming to the 7. You can't make me, Corbin. But what we like is this 9:45 is already pretty packed, so we're trying to spread that out a little bit more. And so if it works well in your schedule, we would love for you maybe to switch up a little bit for Easter. If you're coming and you're bringing family, and if you're like, this is the only time that works, totally, listen, come to this service. Like, if you're in between not coming or coming at all, come to this service. But we would like to make more room in this service particularly. So if you can, maybe show up to the 8 o'clock or the 11. Don't worry about the 7. My 8:30s, they're already ready for that. Those 8:30 service people are like, hey, can we get an earlier service? Like, they're the ones that want to be in here, want to eat breakfast, and they want to be done by breakfast. That's just a different mindset for those early risers, right? But we challenge you to come to one of the other services to make a little bit of room as we go into that as well. But there again, there's a lot of stuff going on. We want to invite you to all those things, and we're excited that of really what God's doing in this. But today we are going to continue, and we're going to jump back into our sermon series entitled Love Does. So let's just jump right in the Bible. Again, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the love chapter, which is really what the series is all based off of, 1 Corinthians 13. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. Again, if you don't have a Bible, we challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Well, this passage of scripture says this was something we've probably all heard before. If we've ever been to a wedding, we've heard this passage of scripture. But again, let's go through it. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Kenny, what we've learned from this and what we're talking about is the fact that love is an action. And we're looking particularly at the portion where it says love, really love does not. Right? Love is an action, which means there's some things that we have to be intentional about doing and even not doing. There's some activities that we have to put in place so that we actually love. Right? And it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some intentionality. It's going to take action because love is an action. And if you remember last week, Tim Walk, priest, did an amazing job talking about how love does not boast. Today we're going to jump in. We're going to talk about how love does not dishonor others. And so as we start, we're thinking, I'm not very dishonoring to people. Like, that seems like they got this one in the bag. But let's just start by looking at the difference between honor and dishonor. If you look at honor means this. It means to give value to someone. Right? It means to show respect to someone. Right? Honor is highly esteeming somebody. It's treating somebody as worthy or valuable. I looked at one definition, and it said that that honor is treating someone as precious, right? Which I thought was a precious word. Right? It actually brought the inner nerd out of me, and I was thinking, like, of Lord of the Rings, my precious, and what if we treated people like that? Then I thought, wait, that might be weird. It's a little creepy. Right? So, but that's what honor is. It's treating something as that high of value. And that's what loving is as well. But if you look at dishonor, really it's the counterpart to this. Right? Dishonor is not giving credit to somebody. Right? It's not appreciating others. It's really overlooking others. I think about this. When somebody does something good, we sometimes think, well, I didn't dishonor them. But if we actually overlook that, if we overlook that and we don't give them credit for something that they did well, that's actually dishonor. Because dishonor doesn't acknowledge others. If you look at it, it says dishonor is treating others as common or ordinary. It's treating others as lower than ourselves. And think about this. Sometimes we do this, right? We do this with other people's opinions. We look at it, we hear them, we're like, that's a nice opinion, but it really doesn't matter because my opinion's better. What that is that's dishonor. And dishonor devalues others. And it's not loving. And again, we look at this, we see dishonor every day. It's not something we automatically try or think that we're going to do, but it just happens. It just happens. Right? Again, this is an election year. Right? 2020 was one of the craziest years of a church ever. Right? As a pastor, as a person, 2020 was just a terrible year. But it was one of those things where you put the election year in, and man, it caused so much division amongst the church, the big C, like multiple churches, that it caused issues. And why? Because election years do this. Listen, 2024 is an election year, and it's a year where dishonor can be right at the tip of everything. It's very prevalent. Because if you think about what happens during an election year, the candidates, what do? They dishonor each other. And we see that, and that leaks over into us. And what happens to us? Pretty soon, we dishonor the other candidate as well. Then pretty soon, that even leaks over to how we treat people. If somebody votes differently, we dishonor them. And it's filled, and there's this dissension, there's this division. And it's not love, right? It's not love. So listen, as we get ready for this year, as we go into November, I'm going to stop talking about this because we're already ready to love one another. We're already to overcome this because we're going to honor each other because love does not dishonor. Right? Love does not dishonor. Dishonor, I think, shows up too, though. Shows up, obviously, in political years. It shows up in election years. But it shows up in social media. I mean, think about it. You scroll through, you see somebody's opinion. That's dumb. I might make a comment on that. I might not make a comment. I'll at least make a comment in my head. What are we doing? Dishonor. We look at it and we think, I would never do that. But the truth is, so many times we fall into it. And here's what I want us to understand about it. I want us to understand this today, that honor builds up where dishonor tears down. Right? Honor builds up where dishonor tears down. And listen, we're called to build one another up. We're called to build each other up. Build each other up in love. Encourage one another. Right? Lift each other up. Walk with each other. That's what honor does. But dishonor does the opposite. Dishonor causes destruction and tears down. Right? And dishonor is not just a honor's ugly counterpart, but it also hurts others. It's not loving, but it hurts us as well. If you look at dishonor, dishonor is kind of a dangerous place to live in because what it does is it keeps us from truly experiencing God and his goodness and what he wants for our life. If you look at it, dishonor actually blocks his goodness from us. It keeps us from experiencing who he is. And we actually see this during the time of Jesus in a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. So before we jump in, let me just kind of give you some background on what's happening. Here's Jesus, and he's walking on the scene. At this time, Jesus had started his ministry, and he had done a couple miracles. He had done a few miracles at this time. At this time, he had already healed a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Like, that's a big deal. At this time, he actually raised another little girl back to life, right? This is where Jesus was in his ministry. He was doing some incredible things. He was doing some pretty amazing miracles. Hey, this is where he was. But then Jesus goes back into his hometown. He goes back in this town called Nazareth, and he goes through there, and Nazareth was filled with people much like all around that were looking for the Messiah, right? They were expecting the Messiah. But when Jesus came back to Nazareth, when he came back to that town, many of the people just looked past Jesus, right? They didn't give him any credit. They didn't even acknowledge what he had done or was doing. If you look at it, they weren't honoring him. So check this out. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. It says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And then Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and his own home. Here's Jesus, and he goes back, and what do? They treated him as ordinary. They treated him as common. Right? Jesus goes back to his town, and they don't see the miracles. Again, he had raised somebody to life. And they go back, and they look at him. Isn't this just the carpenter? Isn't this just Mary's son? Isn't it just the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? His sisters are here. Like, this is just the normal dude. Like, they didn't look to him as anything special. Like, Jesus didn't come back into his hometown. They didn't have him the sign. Here's the state champion, blah, blah. Like, that wasn't what they did. They just saw him like, man, really, he can't do all that. In fact, they took offense to what he was teaching about. Right? They took offense to what he was doing. They question everything. It wasn't like they were truly amazed. They're amazed in almost like this dishonor. They're amazed in a way they're like, can't believe him. Right? They dishonored him. And then Jesus points it out. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. Here's Jesus, and he walks into this dishonor. And check out what happens next. Verse 5, it says this. And it says, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Here's Jesus again. He had raised somebody from the dead. He had healed this woman 12 years of an issue of 12 years. He walks into his hometown. He's probably thinking, this is going to be amazing, right? There's people I knew that I grew up with. This is probably what Jesus is thinking that I grew up with that have all these issues that, man, God is going to use to do an incredible miracle, right? God's going to heal people. He's going to do all these things. But he goes in there and it says he couldn't do anything, right? He couldn't do anything. Why? Because of their dishonor. He says he could not do any miracles. It didn't say he would not. It didn't say he didn't want to. It says he could not. Why? Because the dishonor put a block up. It put a wall up. Really, there's this connection between honor and faith, and dishonor and a lack of faith. And because of their dishonor, they had this lack of faith, and it kept God from doing what I think God wanted to do. Listen, I think there should have been another portion of scripture in there that expanded upon it and said all these things that Jesus did in his own hometown. But because of their dishonor, because they treated him as ordinary, because they looked at him as just, oh, this is Jesus, what is he even doing? Because of that, it said he could not do anything. This is the danger of dishonor. It keeps God from doing what he wants to do in our lives. It kept Jesus from doing some incredible miracles. It tears down us, others around us, and it keeps us from experiencing what God wants in our lives. And the problem is, too many times, this is where we live. We live in dishonor. I mean, we dishonor others, and there's times where we even dishonor God. I mean, think about it. When's the last time you truly gave honor to somebody? Right? If you're being honest, when's the last time you saw somebody else's opinions as being superior to yours? I think sometimes we hear people talk, we hear their opinion, and we're already thinking about how we're going to respond, or we shut them down before they even finish, and we're like, man, that's nice, that's a cute opinion, right? Maybe you should read more, or maybe you should, like, we have these things in our head, right? What are we doing? We're dishonoring because we're putting ourselves higher than this ties really to what we talked about last week. But this is how we live. I think too many times we look at people as just ordinary. And what that is dishonor. And the scary thing is this happens really to those closest to us. I mean, think about it. Those of you who are married, how many know sometimes we just look at our marriage and our spouse, we look at them as just ordinary. Sarah and I have been married for over 15 years. We corrected that in the first service. Right? But sometimes it's easy. It's easy for me to overlook the things that Sarah does. It's easy for me just to say, oh, that's just a regular way of life. Right? And I don't honor her. Sometimes it's easy for her to do the same thing. And it happens in so many marriages. We just get familiar with everything. And what happens is it lingers in and it goes and leads to dishonor. And because of that, some of our marriages are struggling. And some of them are getting destroyed. Because of that, there's some things that God can't do in them that God truly wants to do in our marriages. Right? And it's not just marriages. This could be with our family. Right? It could be with our kids. It could be in our friends group. It could be in our workplace as well. There's a lot of times where we see people around us as just ordinary. We don't esteem them. We don't give them value. We look at them, and then we overlook them. And it causes this dishonor that we live in. And understand, it's not love. It's not love, because love does not dishonor. And too many times, I think we do this in those that are close to us, and it's destroying our relationships. And even more, it's keeping God from doing what he wants to do in those relationships. We dishonor others. Sometimes I think even too, we dishonor God. And you're thinking like, dude, I would never do that. Like, that seems like a stretch. But think about it. How many of us have turned God into just something ordinary? Right? Instead of having a relationship with him, what we've done is we turned him into a routine. We've turned God into just something we do on a Sunday morning at 9:45. We turn to God into something we do maybe once a week. We're gonna pray before a meal, or maybe we are reading the Bible we're getting into, but we've actually just turned it into a routine instead of a relationship. Listen, God sent his son to die on a cross for us, not so we could get into a routine, not so that we could be just familiar with him, so that we could stand in awe at every single moment of our lives, so that we could look at him and say, God, thank you so much for Jesus, for dying on the cross, so that we could be connected back with you, our creator, our maker, our heavenly father. But too many times, we just becomes ordinary. And what it is dishonor. And because of it, sometimes we're missing out on what he truly wants for us. I mean, this is a crazy thought, but think about it. What miracles do you think God maybe wanted for you? What blessings do you think maybe he wanted for you that he wasn't able to work in because of dishonor? Because we just saw him as ordinary. Because we didn't stand in awe of what he truly can do. I guess a crazy thought, but that's what honor does. It opens the door to that. Honor esteems, honor cherishes, honor values others, and it values God around us, and it believes the best. Think about this. Think about in your relationships if you actually believe the best in others. Listen, it would change some things. And in your marriage, what if you believed the best in your spouse? What if you actually honored your spouse? What if you honored your family? What if you honored and truly cherished your friends? It would make a difference in your relationships, and it would allow God to work in those as well. And it would lead to love. Again, honor builds up, whereas dishonor tears down. So my challenge today, as we hear that love does not dishonor, my challenge is for us to do the opposite. My challenge is for us to honor, and it's to honor God, to honor one another, and to honor ourselves. So let's look at this. All right, there's three areas. We need to first honor God. Everything else starts and everything begins with honoring God. If we're going to honor others, if we're even going to honor ourselves, we have to honor God first. It starts with that. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. And we need to honor him because he's honorable. Right? So So here's how we honor him. We honor him with ourselves, and we honor him with what he's given us. If you look through scripture, it says that everything we have, it comes from God. So we need to honor him back with the things that he's given us. Solomon says it this way in Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Hey, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor him with the first fruits of all your crops. A way to honor God is to give to him first, right? To give back to him first, right? It's a way of showing how good he is to us. Listen, for us in our life, in Sarah and I's checkbook, if you look at the first thing that we pay when we pay our bills is our money to the church, right? It's a way of honoring God. I would say it's our first cut. We cut, but it's actually the first bill we pay online, right? It's a different time. But man, before we do anything, what are we saying? We're saying, I'm trusting God first. I'm not waiting and going to give him the leftovers. I'm going to give him what's first. Because what that is, it's a way of trusting him fully and saying, I'm going to honor you above anything and everything else. Listen, again, right now we are in the middle of our two-year generosity initiative entitled Go Time, which the goal of this is that everybody honors God above everything else. All right, if you look at our primary goal is 100% engagement. We want everybody to play a part in this. Right? Why? Because we think honoring God is that important. Because when we honor God, it opens the door for things that God can do. Our 100% engagement is our primary goal. Our secondary goal is $1.2 million. But we believe this, is that when everybody's honoring God, we're truly going to connect, grow, give, and replicate. And listen, God's doing some amazing things. Right? Just as an update, again, we're able to connect. Right. In fact, up to 2024, up to today, we're averaging 356 people on a Sunday morning between the three services. Right. That's amazing. So we started this in December of 2022. And since then, we've seen 105 people make a decision for Jesus. Right. That's incredible. We've seen 21 people get baptized. We're seeing two more people get baptized next week, maybe even more if you haven't been baptized, right? We're seeing things happen. We're seeing able to connect. We're able to do this again because why? Because some people said, I'm going to honor God first. I'm going to honor him with my first fruits. I'm going to honor him with what he's entitled, with what he's given me. I'm going to honor him. And because of that, we've been able to connect. Because of we've been able to grow. Again, right now, we're trying in the middle of a process where we're trying to expand this room over there, right? So again, in this last year, we were able to expand the land that we have. We bought the 4 acres right behind us, and then we bought another 2 acres, which takes this land all the way to State Route 13, and the other piece of land has 22,000 square foot warehouse, which we're in the beginning process of renovating. We're putting plans together to renovate so that we can move in there so we can have more space. Right? Phase one is this. We're going to take one building that's 12,000 square feet, and we're going to renovate it. Right now, what we would operate with on a Sunday morning is about 6,400 square feet. So we're going to double our space in phase one. Hey, God's doing some amazing things, and it's happening. Why? Because some people said, we're going to honor God first. We're going to honor God first. Again, since we started this, we've been able to give $2,500 to missionaries each month, right, and different ministries that we support. We've been able to give $2,000 each month to church planning organizations and even start a church and help Vibrant Life start from this. Again, all of this is because some people said, hey, we're going to honor God. Our goal is that everybody says yes. Why? Because we're called to do it. It's what love is. It's not dishonoring. It's honoring, and it's honoring God first. Again, our secondary goal is $1.2 million. Right now, we're at $695,000. We're a little bit, if you take the pace of that, we're a little bit short on the pace of that. But here's what I know. If everybody says yes, I'm going to honor God first, that number is going to be blown out of the water. Right? And that's what we're called to do. That's not a challenge. If you're not a part of Go Time, right, jump in. Right? Here's the shameless plug. There's a Go Time card probably in the seat back in front of you. If not, there's one in the foyer there where we would love for you to jump in and say, I'm going to honor God with my first fruits. I'm going to honor him first above anything and everything else. And we're going to watch what he's going to do. He's going to open up some miracles. He's going to do some incredible things. I think we'll be at the end of this. We'll look back and we'll say, man, I can't believe that God did this. Why? Because we are honoring and we're honoring him first. Listen, I challenge you to honor him. Honor him with your first fruits. Right? Honor him with your first fruits. Honor him with who you are. Right? We honor him with what we have, and we honor him with who we are. And a part of how we honor him is worshiping him. Right? Every single morning, on Sunday morning, we come up here, and what do? We sing praises. What we're doing is we're honoring God for who he is. We're remembering all the thing that he's done, everything that he's done for each and every one of us. Listen, we're called to honor him and lift him above everything else in our lives. Right? Psalms 22:23 says, you who fear the Lord, praise him. all you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. Right? First, we're called to honor God. And then when we honor him, everything else flows from that. If we honor God, then it's going to allow us to honor others. And we're called to honor one another. Listen, as a church, we're called to love people to a growing relationship with Jesus. We're called to love people to life change. And to love means that we honor one another. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Another translation, the ESV says this. It says to outdo one another in showing honor. Any competitive people out there? There's your verse for you, right? Outdo one another in love. This means get serious about it, right? Outdo one another, right? Be intentional about it, right? And there's a few groups that we need to honor. If you look at it, the scripture talks about one of the groups is our parents. We're called to honor our parents. And this means kids of all ages, whether young, whether old, we're still supposed to honor our parents. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Right, this is actually one of the Ten Commandments, and it's one of the Ten Commandments that has a promise to it. Right, we're called to honor our parents as long as we live. Right, so honor your parents. Another group that we're supposed to honor is our spouse, right, our families. We honor our families. Listen, if you're married, honor your spouse. And if you want a marriage that's blessed, honor your spouse. Instead of tearing each other down, what would happen if you tried to outlove one another? What would happen if you tried to out-honor one another? What would happen if you tried to out-encourage one another? What would happen if you tried to out-cherish one another? Here's what happened. Your marriage would change and would be changed for the better. Right? Get competitive about it, right? So, man, I'm going to outdo my spouse this week. I'm going to beat them out-honoring them. What will happen is you'll have more love in your marriage. I challenge you to do it, right? Honor your spouse. Another one is this, is honor authority. Sometimes the Bible says things in there and you're like, come on, why would it be in there? This is dumb. Right, this is one of those things because I don't know if some of you guys like authority. I'm okay. I'm a rule follower, so it kind of fits. I'm good with that. My wife is not a rule follower, so this one's tough. Right? But we're actually called to honor authority. We're called to honor authority. Again, this year is an election year. And so sometimes, and during election year, this can be a challenge for us. But here's why I know, right? At Life Change Church, we're not a political church, we're a biblical church. And the Bible says to honor those in authority, right? Which means those in government, it means those that are our bosses, it means any of the things that maybe sometimes we don't even like, we're still supposed to do it. Romans 13:1 says this. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. We might not like this verse, but we need to remember it. We're called to do this. And again, there's a difference between dishonor and disagreement. Right? But we need to understand that. And we can't cross that line because it's not love. Right? And it's not going to lead us to what God truly wants for us in our lives. Remember, we need to pray for those in authority over us. We need to pray for those in leadership over us. Even if they're not the ones that we voted for, even if they're not the ones that we like, we still need to pray for them. Why? Because we're called to honor authority. And they're also called to honor spiritual leadership as well. Now, this may sound weird. I'm not looking for you guys to say, oh, I'm going to honor you, Corbin. But here's why I know. And we're called to honor those that lead us spiritually. We're called to give them honor. Listen, right now in my life, I have two pastors, Pastor Conan Stevens and Pastor Jeff Leake. Man, I honor them. We wouldn't be doing what we do if it weren't for guys like that, right? Who have stood the test of ministry, who stood the test of time, who've gone through some incredible things, right? There's some teachers and some Sunday school teachers I had way back when I would kick my shoes off and not wear shoes and come up to children's sermon moments that put up with me. And because of them, we're here today, right? We're called to honor those who have led us, who have taught us. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Listen, we need to honor those. We need to honor our life group leaders. We need to honor our kids' life teachers. Right now, if you're a kids' life teacher, listen up. Let's give a round of applause just for anybody that's kids' life teachers right now. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed every single Sunday when I see this whole entire row and it leaks into two rows coming in. I'm blessed by that. The chances of them doing something better than anybody else in this room is probably pretty high. Let's just throw it out there, right? There's some incredible leaders. There's some incredible world changers. There's some amazing things that are going to happen in the next generation. But why? It's because some people are leading them right now. Some people are teaching them right now. Man, we honor that. We need to honor those in spiritual leadership. We need to honor those who have led us, who have poured into us, and we honor them by teaching others, by doing the same thing to others, right? Let's honor those in spiritual leadership. Those are the one another's. We need to honor one another. And we need to honor them whether we think they deserve it or not. Because here's what's crazy. When we start to ascribe honor to people, when we treat them as special, when we treat them even as precious, when we build them up, what happens is they'll often live up to that. And when we encourage and honor people, what happens is they'll often become honorable. So honor one another. And the last one is to honor yourself. See yourself as valuable. I think a lot of times we walk through this Christian life and we beat ourselves up pretty bad. We live in this constant state of shame and condemnation. I want you to understand that's not from God. When God sees you, he sees you as a child of God. He sees you as righteous through his son, Jesus Christ, who has made you righteous. When God sees us, he actually honors us as his child, as one who carries his name, as one whose blood was shed for and his body was broken for. Man, that's incredible, right? So I want to challenge you. See yourself the same way. Honor yourselves. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. So listen, when we're doing this, when we're going through this, when we're truly loving one another, love does not dishonor. It doesn't dishonor yourself either. Right? You can look in the mirror and you can look at yourself and say, I'm a child of God. I have value. You know how much value you have? You have enough value that the body of Christ was broken for you. You have enough value that the blood was shed for you. That's how valuable you are. Right? So honor yourself. Because honor builds up, whereas dishonor tears down. So again, my challenge for you is to honor. Honor God, honor others, and honor yourself. Honor yourself, because you bear the name of Jesus. As we close right now, what I want us to do is I just want us to declare a spirit of honor here. I want to declare a spirit of honor in this church, at Life Change Church. I want to declare a spirit of honor in your home. When you leave this place, I want you to take this honor with you. I want you to honor those that are around you. I want you to honor your family members. I want you to take this and declare a spirit of honor in your marriage. I want you to declare a spirit of honor in your workplace. Where you go, I want you to honor others because it's love. Right? And love does not dishonor. Maybe here today, maybe for you, maybe the start of all that again is to honor yourself and see yourself as a child of God. And so what I want to do is I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you that opportunity to declare that. So what you can do is you can pull out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. Maybe for you to start this all off is say, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus and accept his forgiveness and accept his name as your new name in the eyes of Jesus. If we could, you could just checkmark that first box. And again, the next step is baptism. So next week, we're going to open up the baptism. So we're going to have some baptisms. We would love to have more. So if you're here today and you've never been baptized, or you're here today and you said, I made a decision to Jesus, listen, there's no reason to wait. Like, you can get baptized next week, so let's make it happen. So if you are here and you want to get baptized, check mark that box that says, I want to get baptized. There's also a place that says, God's asking me to. Maybe God's stirring something in your hearts to honor others or to honor him. Whatever it is, I challenge you to write it down. In this time of reflection, if you would, fill this out. This is also your time to get any tithes or offerings ready. This is also your time to get any go time commitments ready. Again, maybe for you to honor God is to start by honoring with your first fruits. And this is the step where you're saying, you know what, from this moment on, I want to give consistently. I want to give consistently. Listen, make that happen. As you guys fill this out, let me just pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. God, we thank you for your love, and we thank you that love does not dishonor. And God, that you honor us by giving your son for each and every one of us. God, and I pray for the person right now that made that decision, that checkmark that box that says, I want to follow and make a commitment to follow Jesus. I pray right now that they're forever changed because they accepted your forgiveness and they accepted your Son as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray right now that you move in their hearts, God, to continue to live a life of honor. I pray for those that maybe need to honor one another a little bit better. Pray for those that maybe just need to honor you more. God, I pray right now that you will make it a lifestyle so that they experience your love in an incredible way and that you will open up doors for them to do miracles, for you to do miracles in their life, God, because of it. God, we thank you right now and we give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you're here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.